Recorder's on.
Let's move on to item 6B, facilities management. It's Amanda.
Good morning. Amanda Kimball, Director of Facilities Management. I'm here to present to you just some updates over this last year of us being facilities management. I did give them a PDF to put up the slides, but hopefully you guys have them up in front of you.
Can you ask those questions?
Did Anna give you the, I gave her a thumb drive.
You could also match us via the agenda because it's on as a backup.
I'll try and breeze through this as quickly as possible. I'm going to start off with communications. They handle phones, cameras, radios, repeaters, the 911 system, and they are staffed with 3 people. In this last year, they have done some key projects with supporting critical infrastructure, public safety communications, and efforts to modernize and upgrade all of our equipment. Some major accomplishments was the Fire Command Repeater System upgrade, Cal Fire Link project, which we're still in process, but that just got a lease agreement with the state. I was on vacation last week. So the plans is to get all that equipment updated in the next couple weeks. Repeater site maintenance, security and telecommunication upgrades. They've upgraded some offices, public health, sheriff's, child support, WIC, and the government center cameras. They've installed some new fiber optics to allow public health and also health and human services new buildings to get up and running when they have it fully staffed. They have been helping me with the large project that we'll be doing over the next probably 6 months to a year to rewire the government center with the new Cat 6 wiring. We went out to bid, and now I'm working on a contract with World Telecom. They were the awarded contractor for that project. They have installed about 50 radios and vehicles for sheriffs, probation, stage, the road department, and also county fire agencies. We have about 15 repeater sites that they have to go and maintain. So they make checks twice a year on buildings and also all the equipment. They've helped the Sheriff's Department in the encryption of their radios. They are all now P25 encrypted standards. I'm on 6, Chris. And then number 7, we went through and upgraded all of the county fire repeaters. They had 30 plus year equipment, and now it's all up to standards and brand new. Everything's brand new. And then they are also working with and have worked with emergency services. They had a one-off where they had to assist dispatch move down to the basement. That worked out a lot smoother than I thought it was, since we had to completely rewire them down to the basement. So they were able to assist, and I asked a lot of them in that to make sure that it was up and going, and they did a lot of overtime, and they were able to assist the sheriff in making sure that dispatch was up and running. Next slide. Some future projects. Todd from Communications gave me a list of future projects that are listed that they are wanting to accomplish. So their plates will be full for a while. And then Next is some pictures that they provided me of some of the repeater sites and the equipment that was installed throughout this last year and what they have to kind of go up and take a look at, make sure everything's up and running. Camera systems that they upgraded for child support. And then next is my janitorial team. We have a team of 8 right now and in the process of hiring 2 more people to facilitate the 20 plus buildings that they are cleaning right now. And this is just a little list of everybody who we are servicing right now. And then next is pictures of them getting windows cleaned before and after. Charlie Bird, they went in and cleaned the floors and rewaxed. So those are kind of a before, during, and after, showing you the progress. The windows here at the government center. And the sheriff's office is next. Before, during, and after for their floors. Sink.
Amanda, how often do those floors get done? Is that a twice a year event?
The plan is to do them annually, but with us slowly getting staff, it's kind of been on a as-need emergency kind of basis. They, with hopefully getting fully staffed, will be able to do large projects. This last weekend, during this weekend, the 8th and 9th, they were actually able to get into Health and Human Services and get their carpets done. So it's just kind of scheduled when they can do it and coordinating with the departments right now. So we're hopefully we'll have everybody's done in the next year, but that's a lot to ask. I do. The teams on both communication, janitorial, and maintenance, I do ask a lot because there's a lot that needs to be done. And all the staff kind of just takes charge. They might complain a little bit, but they get it done, and then everything, they're happy that they've put the time and effort into it.
Is that an ask that you do every year, or is that a scheduled maintenance cycle?
It will be a scheduled maintenance cycle once we can get everything done. Once we can get the initial floors done, then it'll be up every preventative maintenance every year, windows, carpets, flooring. Yes,
great.
We just have to get it scheduled, and then
to get caught up.
They have to get caught up. So, and they're doing a fantastic job with what they've been able to do in this last year already. So,
great. So, thanks.
Next is maintenance. We have a team of 6. They maintain all county-owned buildings and support all county departments. They do small, large, intermediate projects. In fiscal year 24-25, they responded to 858 maintenance requests. So that's getting emailed things from needing to put up a sign or a whiteboard to leaks to larger emergency projects, HVACs. Systems, you name it, desks being need to be built, that is incorporated with these 858 requests that we got last year. Completed projects, a list of completed projects that we did in 24-25. Next, there are projects that we are still working on, which is smaller, but it is growing. Day-to-day, and then into pictures, we were able to help public health start some windows, so we started with the top. One of our big issues over last winter was a roof leak at Health and Human Services, so we were able to get phone experts in and fix that. Next one is of our lovely parking lot out back, some progression pictures. There. Farm Advisory, we had a leak in their parking lot. We were told for many, many years that it was like a spring. Well, we had a plumber come out because it just started getting worse, and it was actually the line from the main to the building that was galvanized, and it was rotten. then Public Works actually came in and scheduled Paige after they fixed the leak. One project that was asked upon us that was not in our normal schedule was to help the campground out to finish and fix what a water leak damaged their office. So they were able to get in there and complete it in a couple of weeks. A couple of before and after pictures of our lovely board chambers. IT remodel, we took the old courtroom down on the bottom floor and remodeled it for IT, so their staff can have a larger office. At the beginning of last fiscal year, we did new carpet and abated the foam insulation in Victim Witness, and then HVAC for admin roof, and also the roof there, foam experts also came in and sealed up the roof after we put the HVAC units on. And then just a few pictures of some of the work that they're doing at Charlie Bird, adding offices to house the staff, cubicles and carpet, a window in the intake, so this will be the new receiving area for adults. And then to conclude, my lovely slideshow is we are going to continue to do what is necessary for the infrastructure for our county. And
through the chair.
Yes.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. I just wanted to take a moment, first of all, to thank the board for their support of my vision of creating this Department of Facilities Management. It was non-existent when I first arrived, and it was immediately apparent to myself that there was a need for buildings, proactive maintenance, cleaning, and as the pictures demonstrate, I call it a pure victory. And I would love to give a slow hand clap to Amanda, to Hannah, to Scott, and to Todd. They have led the charge, and we are constantly throwing things at them, and they are just ninjas and just doing what needs to be done. And you can see in our buildings, and this was just a pilot program, truly, because I wasn't sure how it was going to work out. And we did not have a janitorial department in the county. So it was a pilot again. And do you know, with a very short period of time, we have departments calling saying, I want the county janitorial staff to clean my building, because they're envious of seeing what they are doing in other departments. So I applaud Amanda for all of the work and putting up with me with all of the, I need this and I want this done and all of my craziness. But again, I just want to say thank you to the board for your support, because it could not have happened. You could have told me go kick rocks, but you didn't. And it just proves, it's proof positive that with the, such a strong team, Hannah, Scott, yep, I see Scott. Is Todd here?
Todd's on vacation.
Okay, and Todd. And specifically, Matt, I just, again, I needed to say thank you, and to thank you to your crew, because you are doing it just a bumper job. It's amazing. So thank you.
Any comments from the board?
The windows in Public Health look fantastic. Night and day difference if you look at like the bottom level versus the top level. So, I'm a huge proponent of maintaining. I mean, with as many leases as we have throughout the city and county, I'm, you know, a big advocate of maintaining our buildings and keeping them tip-top shape before, you know, expanding out. And your guys' efforts have started to improve that, you know, our facilities thing, and I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, I have to thank Henry for doing the legwork on that one, because at the time of their ask, we were so overwhelmed in my department, so he actually did the bid process, getting all of that and sending it to me, and we actually were able to at least help start with that. We actually have a meeting with Pace Engineering and RAMAC to go through their building on the 22nd, I think, to help them figure out new, like, HVAC instead of the window units. The plan is to go mini splits, but we have to have their electrical engineer to get in there and see what they can do for the electrical on that, and then get those in and then start replacing all the rest of them.
That's awesome. So, I would,
it's a big project, but...
One thing I've been pushing on Henry a little bit on that I would really like to see is I'd really like to see that upstairs redone so that we have that as usable space, because it's frustrating that we keep expanding out into other buildings and we have all of that upstairs. I mean, there's a... I don't even know what that kitchen hood is worth up there. But you know what I mean? So, and I know it's a process. I don't, you know, don't anticipate it's done tomorrow, but no, your guys' work has been fantastic and definitely appreciate it.
Thank
you. Sure. I mean, it's noticeable. I, you know, and you might say it's the little things, but I think there's been so much, I'll call it neglected. Mm-hmm. And when I say you're catching up, I mean, your team is doing a fantastic job. I mean, you know, when the bathrooms are clean, and I mean, it's very noticeable. It's mm-hmm. not like you can't notice that, or the hall. I mean, everything that you begin to look at is different than it's been before, and it shows pride of ownership. So I appreciate greatly what you're doing. I know grounds isn't under you, are they?
Yes.
They are.
Our house and grounds is maintenance.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So that's another aspect that at least I've noticed in green grass in front of the buildings, and not dried up stuff that just looks like it's been deserted. It looks like life happens in that office. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that greatly. And again, it shows a more aesthetically pleasing view from the street than what it was. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Am I right?
Sure, real quick. You know, when I first started, when we went through the big cut path there, we eliminated janitorial services. And it's been problematic ever since until we brought it back in now. So I think that's a testament how much we've made the improvement. Most people or constituents may not see it, but I see it. I see our bathrooms plan. And I think there's a perception. People come in and have to use the facilities on any level. Yeah. They see the improvement. I'm certainly glad to see the pavement in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
Me too.
Lots of, you know, lots of improvements here at the bathrooms are clean. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a direct improvement. Quite some time. The only thing, maybe an ask. Maybe at a future meeting, we could have a kind of a information sharing about the master plan for this building, where we headed with it. The front coming in kind of concerns me. It looks like somebody moved out and nobody moved in. I'd like to know what the plan is, because that should be a welcoming atrium of people coming into the county. And needs some attention. I'd just like to know what we're doing. And also with the dilapidated building back here that faces the sheriff's office.
The old buildings that are here that we were going to tear down at one point but kept.
We call it the annex, I believe.
Yeah. Our janitorial stock this house back there and the rest of it's storage.
Yeah, like I said, just if there's a facilities master plan, I'd like to see it, or if they have access to it, or maybe we could you could educate us on it.
Everybody's pretty much said everything. I just want to say thank you to your crew, your leaders.
Yes.
Because they are the leaders, and no matter where I am or what I ask for, they're right there to help, and pleasant and helpful, and you know, whatever's needed, they help. And that's because you're a good leader. And you know, your entire department is that way, and you're amazing. You do great work. Thank you for having the vision to see that that's what we needed. You've done a great job. And you know how to pick good people to lift you up and make this happen. And it makes all of us look good. So keep doing what you're doing. And when I have to call you and bug you because somebody's bugging me, I'm sorry, but you know, but I'm always able to go back and give somebody information, and I really appreciate that. And it really shows that we do care, and it's pride of ownership. It's pride of what we do and how much we love our community and love what we do. Mm-hmm. And just keep doing it, because it really shows. So, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. That did take 30 minutes. Awesome. Item 6C, Sheriff. State of emergency.
Good morning, Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue. The item before you is the 60-day update, and the recommended motion is to extend. I don't have much of an update. It's tied with our other proclamation, which I know Brian will be speaking about, but still seeing a large amount of the illegal pesticides, and we're just trying to work to get that removed as soon as possible. Ultimate goal is safety for all and the environmental impact, and so with that, I just request the continuance, extension, rather.
Comments from the board?
Move to extend.
Second.
Is that the recommended motion?
Yes.
There's more to it, so,
yes.
I just want to make
yes.
sure. Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Harris? Or Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobb?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oker?
Aye. Moving on to item D.
Good morning, Board Supervisor. Brian Schnell, Director of Emergency Services. The motion before you is to extend the extend the local emergency regarding illegal pesticides. As you know, it was declined by the state of California. Both via Cal, yes, and then both being selected or extend with IED.
Do we have a motion or discussion?
Do. What kind of responses have we received from this?
Can I move into that maybe on this?
Okay.
I mean, federally, too.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, what is Valerie, what is the question?
So, well, the extension is D, and then item E is the discussion of the declaration.
Which, yeah, they seem to be related.
So, I can go
ahead. You can talk about both.
Yeah, so discussion-wise, we have State of California, Cal OES, is replying back with a letter saying, no, they don't see this as a state of emergency. We do have this letter of rebuttal, which is going to urge Cal OES to reconsider that, A, by visiting firsthand and seeing the ecological damage. Also, the state's agency response, so anything that we have data collected from either their claimed soil samples or water samples, we are directing them to turn over to federal agencies. That has not happened, and that is one of the things that we are pushing forward. And then lastly, to reconsider, being that we have seen state of emergencies a lot less than this throughout the state.
Thank you.
Motion to explain.
Second.
Yes, oh, sorry, before we...
Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue. Sorry, Supervisor Harris, you asked about the federal agency. So I will let you know that the federal EPA reached out to me. They launched their own investigation. I haven't heard a lot of follow-up since then, but that was about a month ago, that they are looking at kind of doing a parallel investigation, doing their own, regardless of what the state does. And so that's been passed on. I think we're Region 9, is that right? So the person in charge of that area, our area, reached out to me. I sent the information or proclamation to them, and they have launched their own investigation to try to find out remedies that, in a sense, will either circumvent California in order to effect change or do the federal angle, however that pans out. But they are actively looking into it.
Awesome. Thank you.
And with I was reminded, Region 10 EPA in Oregon has reached out, but there's been no other additional.
Call for the vote on, we're on D, correct?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
We have motion. Motion and second.
Motion.
Motion.
Thank you. And second. story. And that is the recommended motion, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Alrighty, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs.
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakburn.
Aye. Six E.
So 6E is the same, so we are pushing that letter forward with that and looking at, so based off of what you have placed in front of you, we have that letter already written and we'll go to the city today pending your approval. And pending the wording changes.
Real quick, have we done any cost estimations of cleanup of hazardous sites that we could project to the state? Because, I mean, from what I've seen and what I know, it would be pretty extensive. You know, and the county can't carry that brunt.
Based off of what it is, without and we place that in the initial state of emergency, that the cost cleanup would far exceed anything that the county could basically push forward. Really looking at some point being a Superfund site.
Yes.
If need to be.
Hello, Rick Dean, Community Development Director. Supervisor Harris, to get a little bit more into detail with your question there as far as cost or cleanup. I've looked into that to some extent, and there are examples with Humboldt County and claims that they have done. And essentially, from what I've seen, and this is all ballpark, you understand, right? It's in the neighborhood of $25,000 to $30,000 per acre, is kind of what we're seeing.
Okay, we want to hear from the public. Eliza Yaw.
Hi, my name is Eliza Yaw. I appreciate you giving me the time. I'm part of the community that's impacted by this issue. I hear the issue. I'm not hearing anything to try to help the community to safely dispose of this. I know we work with them. I work with Rick Dean and his team. So tomorrow's going to be our first time trying to safely collect those hazardous material, right? So I also do believe that this should be a state emergency. If it is, where's the funding? You all should allocate some money to try to help and educate the community if it's really that dangerous. I'm a source for the community. If it is, I want to be safe from it too. But I don't see any education out there. I don't see anything trying to eradicate this pesticide that's out there that is so harmful to the whole community. So I want to urge you all to, if it is, and it probably is, right? But to what extent, and can you allocate some funds to help the community? I'm here, I'm willing to help, to educate, to translate, to do whatever I need to try to get let people know the consequence and all the danger of the pesticide that's out there. I guarantee you that a lot of these people do not understand how harmful, if it is, right, how harmful it is to themselves or to the people around them. So please take this into consideration when you're voting this. I understand you vote to allow all this extension, all of this, but I don't see anything to try to help my community. So please keep that in mind when you're allowing this or voting for this to go continue. I need some help from you all, from the group. Thank you.
Thank you. And from Fitzyak.
Yes, my name is Fitzyak. I been in front of you before, nearly 10 years ago, if you remember. And I don't think you were there, and she was there, but you three were there. And we brought a whole bunch of committees in here and in front of you before. You know we lived there. And I believe in rehabilitation, education. So, as my wife was saying, and we need to let you know that we are there, exist there in the desert. And we need your help. So, you can educate us. A little bit emotional, because we, most of us there are survivors from the war. Some other people there, for other reasons, but for us, we live there. So, we ask that you would have some kind of education, funding, so that we could help some old folks. I'm 67, retired, and live in that area. There are many like me there. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Thank you.
Just one more thing I wanted to just put this experience out there is that if you have a house that has mice, has cockroach, are you going to destroy the house? Or are you finding a way to try to treat that? So please find us, help us to try to treat the issue, not destroying the property, not eradicate the whole community because of some issues. So say that much.
Thank you.
Looks like we have another one.
Gentlemen.
Brian Schindler, Director of Emergency Services. So with that, quickly, we have reached out to California Department of Public Health in regards to these pesticides and also with the non-declaration of emergency from the state side of it. They were very limited on what they could and could not do. They're willing to help as much as they can. Information, providing translation services out there to push that to the community. But again, without a state of emergency, it basically
questions from the board? Comments?
Well, let me just say this in response to the public comment. Is, you know, I'm glad to hear that the public is concerned like we are. You know, the fact of the matter is reaching out for our declaration is, you know, we need resources. It's a cry for help because we can't do it alone. And we have issues out there, and we've been at this far too long, quite honestly, but we keep trying. You know, one of the things we're up against, there's no media. There's, you know, I don't do social media. I don't know if anyone out there does social media, but you know, how do we get the word out? I mean, I'm open to any and all suggestions. You know, I know that we won't give up, but you know, it'd be interesting to follow up on. You know, I think we need to figure out how to get the EPA involved because this is a serious concern. So one of the questions I wanted to ask about, I think the issue came about because of someone's burning garbage. The fires that started out there for the pesticides. How did we get to, you know? Was there a bird permits issue? I mean, you know, again, the people out there have to realize that there's protocols to help that they can do to help mitigate what's going on.
Yeah, and neighbor, can you read them up there? Speak to the public comment and also just inform the board. The event is occurring tomorrow.
Okay.
Obviously, this is a listed situation. It's very complicated. But we have EPA's identified illegal pesticides time and again. We've encountered them. As a result of the declaration that the board put together, the cultivation community reached out to us and wanted to turn in the illegal pesticides. So we have been working in environmental health with Jim Smith's office and the Department of Pesticide Regulation, who is sponsoring Amnesty event tomorrow to collect pesticides. And both Mr. and Mrs. Jowett have been helpful with interpretations and helping us get the word out for that purpose. So again, complicated was the situation, but I think for the better good is to remove as much of the pesticides as we can from the sites.
So I take that as positive because we are trying to do something. We are always trying to do something moving forward, so I appreciate that.
What do we do with it once we...
It's going to be properly disposed of. We have a contract in place with basically piggybacking on a contract we have with DTSC.
So it's on the county general fund? Is this where it's coming from, or is it coming from OES?
It's going to be reimbursed. The cost to the Department of SSI will be reimbursed.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Yes, taking place tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the intersection of 812 and 97.
How's that being advertised?
It's been posted throughout. Our PO's working on our customer website, and also the community has been participating in the program.
Can you report back and tell us your findings on that? How much was collected? How much it cost, even though we're going to be reimbursed?
Yeah, sure.
Is there a provision for, I guess, what do I want to call it, outfitting whoever's receiving this? I don't know if it's a hazmat type outfit, or how does that work?
Yeah, the contracts are professional. You know, they do all of our DTSC, all of our scope and stuff. They're coming here to actually take away vessels that we've already gathered as part of the routine.
Perfect. Thank you.
So it'll be there, and this is an amnesty program for 1 day.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. And if I may, that is our emergency response team that's coming up to deal with this.
Thank you. Okay.
So through the medical field, I hear of a lot of these chemical exposures from that region specifically. Are we tracking that? Or can we request that local medical providers, obviously HIPAA's involved, so you can't, you know, ask for names, but can we start getting some information based on inhalation issues, skin contact issues, so that one, we kind of get a baseline, and then two, I believe that would kind of give us a gauge on effect of this turn-in process, because if we get this turn-in process done and then we still continue to have medical visits based on exposure, then we know that, you know, at least some of it's still going on.
Yes, so we have requested that through public health and start monitoring that. One of the issues that we do see is that a lot of it's in and out, and it's, a lot of it's misdiagnosed, if you will. And that's one of the things. So it's going to come in as us, like smoke inhalation or something else, versus, hey, this is what happened. A lot of our medical providers, and that is something we've worked with the Dr. Solis to start building that. Basically, what does that matrix look like? That if these are what we're seeing and these are the complications that we're seeing, he's still working on that for us.
Awesome, thank you.
Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue again. Just add one piece to that. Appreciate the thoughtful comments from the audience here. As well, I did reach out to Cali PA as well as Department of Pesticide Regulations, and they're trying to work on some messaging. One of the things that is unique to this is that there are compounds that they've never encountered, and so they're trying their best to sort of figure out how to present that goes through all of their filters and things. So it is part of our process as well, and I agree, it's something we can give handout and also just message is great for anyone to know. We have pictures online and things, but that only really tells you what it looks like. And so, like I said, there's certain things, sometimes 15, 18, 20 different compounds, and it's hard to really identify exactly what's in everything. But they're going down and trying to find out what exactly they are and how they interact in a variety of environments and conditions. If they're on fire, for example, or they're lit, so there is a request not only for the cultivators themselves, but the law enforcement officers, and as well as the consumer at the end. So that is in the works.
So regarding the public and health concerns, I share the concerns. Have we considered, or either OES or the community considered message boards out there to disclose what the health effects are and exposure to some of these toxins, because not only short term, but they can be carcinogens that fester in the body for decades before they emerge.
Right, Shani, oh yes. I, after this meeting, heading
down to the folks in the city to go grab our message boards, and we will be more than happy to build those messages and set them up for tomorrow's event.
I appreciate that, because I can think of a better way to probably get out the message to the greater community who's possibly not engaged with leadership or with this board. And just being able to stop and read the information on the board, I think, would be pretty helpful.
We'll make that happen today, sir.
Thank you.
You know, we talked about this a long time ago when you kind of brought this to our attention. And it's been quite a while ago, and we didn't want to make it sound like the sky was falling. You know, we didn't want to make it sound like this is a huge scary issue that and make everybody panic. But this has been ongoing for a while, and that it is a great idea to be able to just boost information where people are being most affected by it. We need to be able to get information out to people. This isn't something that, it's not a flash in the pan. This is something that is happening, it's been happening for a while, and we do need to be able to let people know that there's an issue out there. We've got an emergency declaration. We need to be able to get the information out there. It's a great way to do it, is to just post it. Whether we can't put it on power poles, but sandwich boards are a great idea. Short of mailers, which cost extra money. Social media, not everybody sees it, but it's another good way to do it. I think we've done that already. County website, whatever it happens to be. But people don't always read that. But we need to be able to get the information out there. If EPA ever gets around to doing, you know, the evaluations, and we can get what we used to call MSDF sheets, mm-hmm. flashpoints, all of that kind of stuff, it would be great to be able to distribute that kind of information so that people can read it and find out what this stuff really does to people. But we don't have that information yet. So the more information we can get out there, the better. That's all I got. Anybody
else? So amnesty, I get why that's happening. It's to get the product essentially offline and away from contact altogether. But what does that mean, essentially? If the Department of Pesticides didn't provide amnesty, what would that entail?
If the amnesty was not provided, then it would be enforcement. Yes.
And what does that entail?
It entails site visits from Environmental Health and also the District Attorney's Office. Complicating the cases, which should ultimately be felony charged, prosecuted by the DA.
And would the Department of Agriculture be involved in that at all as well?
To date, they have not been, based on their policies.
Thank you. Do we need a motion on this one? Are we still on E, or no, we did it?
I believe we're on E, which is the letter.
Did we motion or anything?
I didn't.
No.
I don't recall.
So
no.
Yes, we need.
I'll make the recommended motion.
Okay. Need a second.
Through the chair,
yes.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. On the agenda worksheet, it was also requesting whether or not the board would like to send a separate letter on behalf of the board supporting the emergency services letter. So, if you would. Please address that in your motion as well. If you wanted to have a supplemental letter from the board in addition to the Director of Emergency
essentially
Services.
Supporting the reconsideration, correct?
Correct.
Yes, I that would be part of my motion.
Part of the motion.
Yes.
Thank you.
A second.
So an OES, approve the OES letter mm-hmm. as well as the BOS, drafting one for the BOS to be
correct.
Signed by the chair. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you.
If I may, will I still be sending mine and then
correct.
Or wait for yours?
No, you can go ahead and send yours and we'll send ours as a supplement.
Thank you.
Ready for the
yes.
roll call? Alrighty, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Aye. Okay, then we have item F. Funding for State Homeland Security Program and Emergency Management Performance Grant.
Are you not an emergency manager, Siskiyou County? Oh, yeah. So this is our letter of opposition to the DHS regarding the withholding of DHS funds for sanctuary jurisdictions. I did have a very fruitful meeting on Saturday with Representative Wallenhoff regarding this this exact issue, and kind of looking at some ways in and around this, taking guidance from Supervisor Compta for considering yourself as sanctuary county versus a non-sanctuary county. So these are all pieces that the federal government legality side of it is going to have to look at. But moving forward, I would like to still send a letter of opposition withholding funds, reaching out to colleagues across the state. We are the only ones that are pushing this issue, and some of the other ones are just taking that wait and see, which I disagree with. That's not the best way to move forward on this, is wait until FY 2025, when usually the funds would release about January with the NOFOs, which is Notice of Funding, and then from there they would figure out if they're going to get funded or not get funded, and then proceed from there. I think taking a more proactive approach is something that we really within our best interest to do, being that the funding is so tied to public safety throughout my office and the sheriff's office.
He's first.
I appreciate you bringing this to our attention. Appreciate your leadership on this. For those of you who weren't there, Brian did an excellent job with our congressman this weekend. I appreciate your presence there. I think we'll, if anybody can find a workaround, maybe we can do it through some of our politicians who actually have access in D.C. I think it's misunderstood in general how much funding and how critical this is to public safety. You know, it basically funds everything you do as far as keeping the public safe during every one of the natural disasters that we happen to occur in this county. I'm still waiting to see if this trickles down to other departments, especially the federal connection with Cal Fire's funding, if Greg's listening back there. That would be a big deal if it affects the state mutual agreement for firefighting in this state, and I'm waiting to see how far that goes. You seem to think there might be some tie in the meeting we had, but stay tuned. More to follow. Thank you, Brian.
The only thing I'd add is can you copy on this letter? I think RCRC and CSAC and our state representatives should be copied, as well as Congressman Wallenhoff, just so that it, you know, it doesn't, I don't want to say fall on deaf ears, but there'll be a little more attention to it. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Anything else?
Over here.
To the chair. So when was our declaration or proclamation to not be a sanctuary county passed?
I was chair a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, so that's kind of what I was getting at is, should we make a renewed, updated effort on that now that time has gone by, situations have changed?
It's still valid.
But would it have more of a punch if we came out, you know, after all these years and being in this process for a long time with, you know, the change in atmosphere, that was prior to the 10 million people coming in over the last 4 years, the situation has changed a lot. So should we come back and say, hey, like we're updating what we've already done with the information that has changed in the meantime?
In response, I don't want to unravel the fact that when we passed that, it was before the state did its designation.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a legal perspective, that has importance.
Okay.
I don't want to lose that piece, I guess, and it was, to my best recollection, 9 years ago.
Well, I would say this, and I appreciate the letter. I don't think it matters. I think this is something where Congressman Wallenhoff should be leading the charge for us to get this fixed, because when I was back in D.C. talking with Congressman Benz, Congressman Wallenhoff's office, you know, they realized things could be different And if there's something that's really affecting us, to work through them so they can run interference, if you will. The reality of it is, you know, someone else is in charge up there, and California isn't on the paper list, so the baby's getting thrown out with the bathwater here. But I think it takes us not just writing a letter, but going down, knocking on that door, and dare I say it was important, going back to D.C., doing the same darn thing. You cannot do it from the dais here when the choir is the choir. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Congressman Moffitt, this is your regime. You got to help us out here, because we need that funding. Otherwise, it's going to, and I'm surprised it's not, hasn't been brought up at RCRC, quite honestly. CSAC is a different story, because it's, the sanctuary side is going to be prominent on that front. So they won't take a stand, if you will. But I think RCRC, because it represents the vast majority of rural counties, we are all in the same predicament.
Move to approve.
Second.
So the recommended motion.
The recommended motion.
Angela Davis, I just wanted to confirm that in the motion that does include a letter from the Board of Supervisors, again, supporting the letter that emergency services. And we will include all of the CCs for sure, if you include that. Thank you.
And if I may, with the piece of the, with my executive leadership program that I'm in, I'll be not next week, but the week after in residence, Monterey. Two of our members are part of the FEMA DHS Appropriations Committee, which is where we're getting this information. So we're a little bit ahead of the curve on that. And one of the things that is a briefing that we will be getting regarding this is that how this funding is going to directly impact all residents and all jurisdictions that are going to be affected by this. So the next board meeting, which will be September, I can report back on that as well.
Yeah, please bring a lot of attention to the notification system.
Absolutely.
So through the chair, with regard to the letter from the board supporting this, can we include a copy of the resolution on non-sanctuary?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And that was completed, adopted on February of 2017.
So
8 years.
A lifetime ago.
Nine.
All sentences in order.
Okay. Ready?
Ready.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
And Supervisor Oker.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Brian. Yes. Okay, with that, Wendy, are you okay?
Can we take just a couple minutes?
We can.
Yep, that'd be great.
We'll be back in a minute.